Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, if you really hate somebody, don't shoot him. Talk him into starting a school. He'll suffer more, die more miserable and lingering death. I can testify to that fact. There's nothing quite like starting a school. In 1970, we started the Hammond Baptist High School, Junior High School. In 1971, we started the Hammond Baptist Grade School. In 1972, we started the Hiles Anderson College. 1973, we started a war. But we do not learn from previous generations, and it seems like so many men of God start schools, and I think that's what it ought to be. God's men ought to start schools to train God's men. I think one of the tragedies of our generation is that preachers are not being trained by preachers. I thank God for the faculty of Hiles Anderson College. I thank God for those Bible-believing preachers who teach the Bible in Hiles Anderson College. But Elisha had founded a school, and his school had had great growth. Each student had come to a place where they had to build, and so each student was engaged in the building program. And each student was to cut down a post or a beam or a pillar or a rafter or some other part of a building they had to build for the enlarging of the school. Everybody must do his job. Now, they were working with axes in so doing. They did not have the sophisticated tools and instruments of labor that we have today. They were working with axes, and one man was chopping with his axe. And as this young ministerial student was chopping with his axe, the axe head fell into the water. He was crushed. He came to Elisha, the man of God, and he said to Elisha, "The axe head fell off the end of the axe handle." And folks, if you've never had that happen, I mean, ain't nothing like it. I mean, I've had the axe head slip off the axe handle and come meward. And I have been hit almost every place there is to be hit with the axe head. And I have also hit almost everybody in my family with an axe head that fell off. In fact, there are some people in my family, namely not my mother, not my father, but a female in my family where I grew up. I won't tell you who it was, but I'm her brother. Every time I was chopping wood around her, I would loosen the axe head before I chop. Because I want to hit the battle axe. But anyway, I'm sorry. That's terrible. That's so close to Christmas. You talk about courage, boy. That's it. But I've chopped a heap of wood. You folks that never have had wood stoves, never had to chop any wood. You don't understand what life's all about, and for that you can be grateful. But this fella, help the young lady find a seat back in the back, please. I need an usher back there at that seat back there too, if I could have one. So this fella was chopping with the axe, and suddenly his axe head fell into the water. He came to Elisha and he lamented the fact that the axe head fell into the water because he said, "Alas, it was borrowed." Elisha said, "Where fell it?" And the young man came and said, he told him the spot. He said, "It fell right over here." So Elisha said, "All right," he said, "you cut down a stick and you throw that stick into the place where the axe head was." And when he did that, the iron axe head rose to the top of the water. And Elisha said, "Pick it up." He took it back and went back to work. Now, I need you ushers to help me. We have folks just coming in. I need you ushers to help me. Be sure, and as these folks come in, help them find a place and so forth, or ask them to sit back in the back somewhere and so forth. Once I start speaking, I don't like the walking around. So I'll start over again. He was working with the axe head, with the axe chopping wood. The axe head fell into the water. The young man came to Elisha and said, "Alas, it was borrowed." Elisha said, "Where did it go into the water?" The young man took him to the place and pointed to the place. Elisha said, cut down a stick and throw that stick in the very place where the axe head came off or entered into the water. And he did so, and the axe head rose to the top of the water, and the Bible says it did swim. I don't know whether it's a backstroke or the breaststroke or what, but it did swim. You said, you believe that? Yes, I believe that. I believe that. I think the Bible said it walked on water. I think it walked on the water. So he took it back and went back to work. Now, I want to give you several things tonight. I think about eight statements I want to give you about this, and I want to be very practical about it. I want to say, number one, there's nothing like working with the power of God. This axe head represents the power of the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing like working with the power of God. Now, I want to say this also under that point. That power is available to every person in this room tonight. I am sad that we have, and I'm a part of this, but I'm sad that we have relegated the fullness of the Holy Spirit to the pulpit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit was never meant just to be for a preacher. It's to be for everybody. Bible says in that wonderful passage in Joel, as this as the prophecy was given that was fulfilled at one time on Pentecost, has been fulfilled again and again and again in these last days. Prophecy that he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And as you've heard me say again and again and again, that means female flesh as well as it means male flesh. That means poor flesh as well as it means rich flesh. That means laity, layman flesh, as well as it means clergy flesh. That means illiterate flesh as much as it means intellectual flesh. That means little flesh as much as it means big flesh. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Then he goes on to list the types of people that the Holy Spirit, for which to whom the Holy Spirit is available in his mighty power. I'm not talking tonight about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking tonight about the usual work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking tonight about his comfort, though that's a marvelous thing that he does for us. I'm not talking tonight about his strength, though that's a marvelous thing that he does for us. I'm not talking tonight just about his teaching us the Word of God, though that's a marvelous thing he does for us. I'm talking tonight about the mighty power of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, that that power is available for your sons and your daughters. Now that means young people. That means the children as well as the dad. That means the teenagers as well as mom and dad. That means the female, it means the daughters as well as the sons. The Bible said, I'll pour out my spirit upon handmaids. That means the female servants. That means I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It says your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. And I want to say tonight, before I get very far in the message, that this mighty power is for you. If you're saved, it's for you. If you're a young person, it's for you. If you're a female, it's for you. If you're a layman, it's for you. It's for everybody. This power, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And there's nothing any more wonderful than to serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we usually limit that to preaching. We say, Lord, fill our preacher with the Holy Spirit as he preaches tonight. Why don't you say, fill me with the Holy Spirit as I listen tonight also, you see. So, this wonderful power is available for you, not just the preacher while he preaches, but the mother while she rears the children, and the father while he works in the factory, and the soul winner who goes soul winning, and the Sunday school teacher who teaches the Sunday school class, and the school teacher who teaches the schoolroom in the grade school, junior high, high school, to the college. It's available for the singers who sing in the choir, for the song leader who leads the singing. It's available for the ushers who usher the people and seat the people. It's available for the PA men who control the PA equipment. It's available for the custodians who clean the building. It's available for the secretaries who type the letters. It's available for everybody, this power. And there's nothing as wonderful as to work for God with the fullness of his power. Now I want to say the second thing. First thing I said, the working with power is wonderful. Now the second thing I want to say is this. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not for keeps. I say the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not for keeps. You don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and that's it. That's what's happened in many of our holiness groups. They have talked about the second blessing and forgot the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the 7,000 and the 10,000. No, the Bible said in Acts, for example, it said that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And these same people, just a few chapters later, were filled again with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's fullness is not for keeps. Let me remind you a few things tonight. In 1 Samuel 10:10, it says, Saul, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon Saul. He was filled with the Spirit.
In 1 Samuel 11 and 6, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. In 1 Samuel 19, 23, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. Let me serve notice to you that this was before the fall of Saul. This was before Saul got too big for his own britches and his hat size got too big, they couldn't find a hat to fit him. And Saul lost his power. And the blessings came lifted from Saul and placed upon David, who became his successor on the throne. I'm simply saying, just because back yonder one time in your life, God's power came upon you, does not mean the power of God's upon you tonight. Let me illustrate what I'm... Well, let me go on. In Judges chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon Samson, and that was before Delilah. And Samson lost his power because of the Delilah incident. In 1 Samuel 16, 13, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord God came upon David, and that was before Bathsheba. And on Mount Carmel, it says about Elijah that the Spirit of the Lord God came upon him, and that was before he ran from Jezebel. You see,
let me have that accent. Yeah, because you got more wood over there.
Now, I'm simply saying that you've got to keep the accent on tightly. Now, I can take you to the very spot. In fact, I've done so for a couple of groups of people. I can take you to the very spot where for the first time in my life, I knew I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. I prayed for God's power upon my life. I went in the woods and I prayed and begged for God's power for months and months before for the first time in my life I knew what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, I've tried to keep that power the same way I got that power. You don't get the power of God upon your life and get the fullness of the Holy Spirit and say, okay, that's that. I won't worry about that. Oh, no. No, you have to pray just like you always prayed. You have to beg God just like you always beg God. You have to have God's anointing just like God's power just like you always got God's power. It's not a one-time deal. Oh, bless God, I got it. I've been baptized the Holy Ghost. Well, get baptized again and again and again and again and again and again. Over in the book of Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you'd check that very carefully, you'd find out that means you be being filled. You be filled and 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 be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm saying, first thing I said, there's nothing like working with power. Second thing I said, the fullness is not for keeps. I told you how that Saul had the fullness of the Holy Spirit and lost it. I told you how, by the way, he didn't lose his salvation. Bless God, that's for keeps. But Samson was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he lost it. And David was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he lost it. And Elijah was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he lost it. I said in the first place, there's nothing like working with the power of the Holy Spirit. I said number two, the fullness is not for keeps. Now then, the third thing I want to say is this. This man who was chopping with the axe head, he lost his power. He lost his power. He was chopping and doing his part. I'm in a mood just to start chopping some things up tonight. I've always wanted to do this. And would all the deacons line up here in the altar. He was chopping. Brother, I've done my share of it in these years. I mean, you get a piece of wood here and you hit it that way, and then you hit it that way, and then you hit it that way, and then you go a little bit like that, and a little like that, and dig it in with a V-shape, and then you turn it upside down, and you start the same way on the other side. And this fella was chopping and chopping and chopping and chopping, but all of a sudden, the axe head went into the water, and he lost his axe head. And here he is, still chopping, and still chopping wood, and still... And here's a picture of the average church today. You go to the average church today, and the average song leader is just chopping with no accent. Oh, he's going through the motions, all right, and he's sweating up a storm, but he's chopping with no power. The average choir and the average church in America going through the motions okay, but they're chopping with no power. The average college classroom in America today going through all the motions. We've got all the organization, all the... I'll take a few swings on the ball. But I mean, the average college, the Christian college today, is all the organization and all the machinery and all the polish, but we're just chopping with no power, and we're chopping with the axe head gone. And there's a picture of the average preacher today. He's chopping. He's got his sermons.
He knows how to exegete the Scripture. He knows all about homiletics. He knows all about hermeneutics. He knows all about apologetics. He knows nothing about the power of the Holy Spirit. And nothing is happening. Why? Because he's lost his power. That's why. The average preaching and teaching and singing and studying and rearing children and bus work and Sunday school teaching and school teaching, it's just done without the axe head. Now, I'll tell you something else, too. There's nothing any worse than if you have tasted the breath of the Holy Spirit of God upon your life. When you've chopped with the axe head, and boy, you could see those chips as they flew. And you get one of those things in your eyeball, and you've had a problem, I guarantee you. But you see those old chips flying, and you see an old dent being made. There's nothing as bad as once you've tasted that as to chop without the axe head. I'm thinking about a preacher. Heard him preach not long ago. Used to be a great man of God. I mean, years ago when I was a young preacher, and that's been years ago, when I was a young preacher, I used to go hear him preach, and my soul, when he'd preach, my heart would burn on the inside, and I knew that God was with him. And I heard him preach the other day. He's lost his power. He's lost his blessing. He's lost the power of God upon him. And the old fella was just chopping. That's like that. And nothing happening. And no conversion. And no blessing. And nobody at the altar. And nobody being baptized. Just chopping away. I'm talking tonight, young preachers who once had the blessings and power of God upon your ministry, but the axe head has fallen off, and you're chopping with just the handle. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers tonight who once knew what it was to teach the Sunday school class with the power of God upon your life, but you're just going through the motions. Oh, this, you know how to study the Sunday school lesson and present the lesson and do the flannel graph and the chalkboard and all of that, but you've lost the breath of God. You've lost the power. And the average church tonight, the average Sunday school is just chopping without the axe head. And the average preacher is chopping without the axe head. And the average assistant pastor is chopping without the axe head. And the average bus captain is chopping without the axe head. And the average choir member is chopping without the axe head. And the average deacon is chopping without the axe head. And the average Sunday school teacher is chopping without the axe head. And the average Christian school teacher is chopping without the axe head. And the average college teacher is chopping without the axe head. And the average soul winner is chopping without the axe head. There's nothing as wonderful as preaching and teaching and serving and working in the power of the Spirit of God. And nothing as tragic as it is to see somebody who once had that mighty power of God upon them chopping with the axe head fallen in the water. I remember years ago, and I've used this story once or twice a year here at First Baptist Church. I'll never forget it. I've only had one Sunday morning that I can remember in all these years. I can only recall one Sunday morning in all these years that I've, since God for the first time filled me with the Holy Spirit in the grave of my father. I said for the first time. I didn't say once and for all. You get salvation once and for all. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and get filled with the Holy Spirit. And get filled with the Holy Spirit. And get filled with the Holy Spirit. That time there on the grave of my daddy, on May 13, 1950, and for the first time in my life, I knew that God did fill me with His Holy Spirit. From that night, as far as I can remember, only one Sunday morning in all these years, and I'm talking about 38 years ago, all these years, did I ever have nobody walk the aisle for salvation right here in this church. One Sunday morning over there in the building that burned, this has been about 1960. I preached that Sunday. One of those days, we wouldn't have what we have now. We've had in the last few weeks, including all of our services here, we've had, 200, 300, 400, 500 people a week getting saved in our services, and sometimes more than that. But in those days, we'd have, 15 every Sunday morning, 10 or 15 a Sunday morning, but this particular Sunday morning, I'll never forget it. I preached, and nobody came forward. Gave invitation several more stanzas. Nobody came forward. And then suddenly a fellow over here next to the aisle, I can still see him, middle-aged man, about 62, young middle-aged. He came forward, and I was hoping he came to get saved, but he didn't. He came to transfer membership. Nobody saved that morning. Nobody. I went to my study. Didn't eat a bite all afternoon. I fell on my face, and I said, God, have I lost the power? Have I lost it? Have I lost it? I'd rather die than lose the mighty power of God upon my life. I'd rather die than preach without the power of God. And I said, have I lost it? Oh, I'm afraid I've lost it. And I cried all afternoon and begged God. That night I went back to church. Couldn't wait to get back to church. Jim Lyons was my song leader in those days, assistant pastor. And
That night I preached the message and gave the invitation. I never forget it. 9 adults came down the aisle receiving Christ as Savior. I walked over, as I saw them coming down the aisle, people didn't know what I was doing. I walked over and grabbed Jim and shook him like a bottle and said, "Jim, I still got it. I still got it, Jim. I still got it. I still got it." He said, "What have you got? Let it go, man. I got it. 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 Whatever you do, don't lose the power of God upon your life. You don't have time to young preachers, if you don't have time in your pastorate to do all that folks expect you to do, take time to do all God expects you to do. Take time to walk with God. Take time to beg God for His power. Take time to get along with God. Take time to claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't be a professional preacher. Be a God-called, Spirit-filled man of God." And so this fellow, picture him, as he was chopping with the axe head, gone. Totally gone. Number 4, I said in the first place, he was working, it's wonderful to work with power. I said in the second place, the fullness is not for keeps. I said in the third place, the power can be lost. In the fourth place, I want to say that power was not his own. It was not his own. He came to God's man, and he said to God's man, he said, "Can I have this mic?" He said to God's man, he said, "My axe head fell in the water." And God's man was sort of sleeping at the time. And God's man said,
"Where fell it?"
"Yeah, that's right. Where fell it? That's exactly right." But first he said, "Alas, it was borrowed. It wasn't my axe head. I borrowed it. Now it's down in the bottom of that water there. I borrowed it." I want to tell you something else too. The power of God is not yours. It's not your personality that gets the work done for God. It's God's mighty power. It's borrowed. It's not your charisma. It's God's power. It's not your education. It's God's power. It's not your training. It's God's power. It's not your polish. It's God's power. It's not your intellectualism. It's God's power. It's not your handsome physique. It's God's power. It's not your pretty face. It's God's power. It's not your presentation. It's God's power. It's not your eloquence. It's God's power. I'm saying that I cover this country from the length and breadth of this nation, from Canada to Mexico and the Atlantic to the Pacific. Every year of my life, I go from Maine to Southern California, from the Florida Keys to Anchorage, Alaska. Every year of my life, I know what I'm talking about. I'm saying we're depending upon everything under heaven except the thing that builds churches. They're not going to build that seminary or that college class or building for Elisha's School of the Prophets unless they have the axe head. You can swing all you want to with the axe handle, but you've got to get God's power. And across this nation, we've gotten the place. We have our chandeliers. We have our lovely carpets. We have our padded pews. We have our colleges. We have our grade schools. We have our Christian high schools. We think we've just about got it made. Sometimes I think it'd be a heap better off if we'd just blow out the chandeliers and light the kerosene lamps again. And be better off to take the padded pews and kick them out and put the old slat benches back in again. And take all of the fancy stuff we've got out and go back to the tent and go back to the altar and go back to the mourner's bench and go back to the sawdust trail and go back to the storefront building and go back to the basement and go back to the attic and if needs be, go back to the catacombs. We've lost, and you know what I'm talking about. We've lost it. Fundamental churches all across this nation have lost the power of God. We've lost the power of God just like the Southern Baptists lost the power of God. We've lost the power of God just like the American Baptists lost the power of God. We've lost the power of God just like the old Methodist, old-fashioned Methodist lost the power of God. We've got our committees, we have our organizations, we have our doctor's degrees, and all of it. But oh, my soul in heaven cries out again, God give us the power that Wesley had. God give us the power of a Whitfield. God give us the power of a Charles Spurgeon. God give us the power of a Billy Sunday. God give us the power of the old circuit riding, hell raising, barnstorming, window rattling, jingle pulling, God's men of the old days that made this country what it is. That's a problem. We're chopping without the axe head. The axe head's gone. We got the handle. Just chopping away. Dr. McFundle is chopping away. Reverend Big Bottom is chopping away. And Mr. Messamup is chopping away. And we look good. We look good. We have doctor of axe handle degrees we pass out. I'm saying
Nothing like working with the mighty power of God. I said, number two, the fullness of God's power is not for keeps. And I'm talking to folks tonight who once had the axe on the handle, but tonight you're chopping without the axe head. I'm talking to Christian school teachers. When you first started teaching, you threw yourself at the mercy of Almighty God. And you begged God to help you because you didn't think you were so hot back in those days. But now you've got your outlines and you want the same old outlines every year. I don't care how good your outlines are. You've got to have the head, axe head on the handle and the mighty power of God in your life. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers that once had the breath of God upon you in your class, but you've lost it. I'm talking to bus captains that are chopping without the axe head. It's still chopping away, going through all emotions like our churches do, having the morning service and having the glory of Patre and having the sevenfold Amen and having the Lord is in His holy temple, but we don't have the Holy Spirit of God upon our churches. I guarantee you, fundamentalism as we know it tonight will be gone in 50 years if we don't get back the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, you say, you must be a Pentecostal. Baptist preachers were filled with the Holy Spirit 2,000 years before Pentecostal preachers were ever indented. And I rebel. I rebel. We've let them steal this mighty doctrine from us. Now, they pervert it, and I'm not saying they're teaching the truth. Because they pervert it, we're afraid of it. I don't care what you call me. The Bible still says be filled with the Spirit. Still there. Still there. Now, cut it out of your Bible or believe it. Next thing I want to say, number four, I said it was borrowed. Not my working, but His. Not my wisdom, but His. Not my knowledge, but His. Not my charisma, but His. Not my talent, but His. Not my personality, but His. Not my ability, but His. You can't build a school without His power that's pleasing to God. You can't build a church without His power that's pleasing to God. You can't have a ministry without His power that's pleasing to God. I'm simply saying, it's borrowed. And that makes it even more tragic to lose it because it's not yours. I said in the first place, there's nothing like working with the mighty power of God. I mean, there's just nothing like. I mean, boy, which one are you tonight? I mean, just face it. Which one are you? Just look it square in the eyeball. If you teach your Sunday school class like this, or like this morning. Which one are you? Don't be alarmed. You can buy pulpits cheap. I felt so good in years. Which one are you? Huh? You teach your class with this morning, teach your class with this. Huh? Operate your bus route with this week, you operate your bus route with this. To teach your Christian class in the Christian school with this week, teach your Christian school class with this. Now, you know whether it is or not, but it's borrowed. It's His power, not yours. Not your talent, it's His. Not your wisdom, it's His. Not your knowledge, it's His. Not your charm, it's His. It was borrowed. Then, number five. Not only that He is working in the power of God, wonderful, and the fullness is the power is not for keeps. Power can be lost. Power was not His own. But I want to say this. He knew where He lost it. He went to the man of God and said, my axe head has fallen into the water. It fell in the water over here. My axe head fell in the water. Where fell it? And the man of God said,
where fell it?
He had rehearsed before I got there. And he came and showed him where it was. He knew where it was. And by the way, thank you, man of God. And by the way, you know where you lost your power too. Some of you lost your power when the collection plates came by and you quit tithing. And some of you lost your power when you quit your Sunday school class. And some of you lost your power on Lover's Lane. Some of you lost your power with a little thing about that long that you don't smoke, you suck on. It smokes, you suck. You're the sucker. Some of you lost your power when you went to the Christmas party last year that served liquor. Some of you lost your power during your vacation time last year when you went home from college and you remember the wrong crowd, went to some heathen party with the kids because you're ashamed to be different. I don't know where maybe you lost your power watching a television show. Maybe you lost your power listening to rock music, but where have you lost it? I'll guarantee you, you know where you lost it. You know where it was. He said, where fell it? Took him right to it. I know, right there. That's where it is. And you know where it is. Now listen,
Go back where you lost it and get it. Go back where you lost it and get it. Where'd you lose it? You know where you lost it.
I said in the first place, there's nothing like working in the mighty power of God. I said in the second place, that fullness is not for keeps. I said in the third place, you can lose that power. I said in the fourth place, it was not his own. It was borrowed. I said in the fifth place, he knew where he lost it. So he goes to the man of God.
In this case, the man of God is not real bright. We've got to rehearse a little bit. So, I said, do this, do certain. He said, I knew that already.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, every time we have a staff meeting, we'll quote verses, and then somebody says, Jesus wept, and John said, you got my verse. The other day, we're having a staff meeting, and I was about 2 minutes late. Brother Colston sitting right there by the door. Shut up. That's where you lost your power, right there, brother. But he was sitting right there at the right. I walked in the staff meeting about 2 minutes late, and Brother John turned around. He said, next time, if you can't be on time, he said, you just come whenever you feel like it's time to come. Look, I lost it right over here. It's right there. What can I do?
We'll cut a stick and throw it in the water.
Don't be so expressive when you say that. Cut a stick and throw it in the water. All right? So I'll get a stick. I'll throw it in the water. Now, you're the man of God, aren't you? Huh? You know what you got to make an accent do? I throw the stick in the water, don't you? Come pick that up for me. Just hold it right there, parallel like that to the ground. Just hold it up. Look at there. That thing is swimming. Look at it shaking there. That thing is swimming. Man, what a man of God you are. My soul. Wonderful. By the way, he saw it. And I want to say this. It was obvious to everybody when he was chopping without that axe head. Now, there's some people that think they think they're the latest thing in discernment. But I'm saying it'll become obvious sooner or later that you've lost God's power. And so what you'll do, you'll say it's not for this age. Miracles are not for this age. Well, they're not for this age as long as that people like you don't believe them. My Bible said that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so there it was, swimming. Getting a little weak there, aren't you? That thing's going down. It's sinking gradually down into the water. I should have had your wife do this. I knew that. Thank you. All right, you can put it back down. Now, what caused that to swim? When a stick was thrown in the water? Would you like to know how to get your power back? You take the cross of Christ and throw it in the water. You get back. You just cut down the old tree 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And you toss that old tree. You know what America needs? America needs to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. We have enough of a possibility thinking. I mean, possibility thinking. Hogwash, poppycock, and foolishness. That didn't build America. Bunch of kimono-wearing preachers didn't build America. All across this nation, every denomination on the face of the earth, except independent Baptists in some cases, are having a tough time getting ministerial students. I was preaching in an area not long ago where there's a fundamental college. If I call the name, we have people here in this room that have loved ones there. And I ask, and by the way, it's a college, it's a pretty good-sized fundamental college. And I ask how many preacher boys they have. But they said the preacher boys club was going to come and hear me preach. I said, how many in the club? They said, oh, about 35, 40. Boy, I couldn't help but throw my chest out and say, well, old Hiles Anderson College has got 700-800 preacher boys. How many students at Hiles Anderson College, God called men? Stand up, would you please? God's called you to be a preacher. Stand up, would you please? Thank you, fellas. That's what I'm talking about. I think I'll just perform a little bit tonight. I'm in a wild mood. I think I'll just perform a little bit. Here's what goes on in the average church across America. And not one little preacher, not one little junior boy sits out there and says, "Hey, Mom, that's what I want to be when I grow up." That's what his mom already is. But you take some old-fashioned rip-snorting, hell-raising, barn-storming, window-rattling preachers that set this Word of God on us, and Billy Sunday had no problem getting preacher boys. John Wesley had no problem getting preacher boys. We wouldn't have any problem getting... Listen, here's a guy gets up and says, "You must be born again. Thus saith the Lord." Every little kid out there says, "Boy, I'd like to blow my stack 3 times a week like that." I don't know when we had a service here without somebody walking the aisle surrendering to full-time Christian service. I don't recall the Sunday we had without somebody walking down the aisle and saying, "God's called me to preach. God's called me to full-time work." You know why? Because they want to be God's man preaching in God's power. That's why. Throw the stick in. Throw the cross in. And let me say, in the sixth place, not only is working with the power of God a marvelous thing, fullness is not for keeps. Your power can be lost. It's not your own. You know where you lost it. You throw the stick in. Throw the old cross of Christ in. Number 7, you can have it again. You can have it again. That same power you once had is available tonight. That same zeal that came from God that caused you to double and triple that Sunday school class is available tonight. That same breath of God all across this nation. I go to some churches every year. In fact, I go to, let's see, about 21 churches, I think it is, every year. And I can see those churches in some cases deteriorate. And then pretty soon they stop the bus ministry. And then pretty soon they go into some kind of what they call a deeper life hodgepodge with no altar call and no mourner's bench. And then they start criticizing churches that do soul winning and talk about easy believism and all that garbage and so forth and trying to justify the fact. I don't care how much you're trying to justify it. The problem is you lost your power. But bless God, you can get it back. Still available for you. You can have it back. This fellow said, "There it is. Jack said, swimming, reach down, by the way, God made it easy for him to get it back. He didn't have to jump in to get it back." Thank you. Good throw. He didn't have to jump in the water to get it back. God raised it right there because God said, "There it is, right where you lost it." Now listen, you know where you lost it. You lost it that time you turned that television set on a cable movie. Or maybe you lost it that time when you slipped into an R-rated movie, or any kind of movie. If it's from Hollywood, it's of the devil. You lost it. You lost it when you decided you're going to wear clothes like the world and wear your hair like the world. You lost. Go back where you lost it. It's right there. And you can have it again. Samson did. As I said this morning. Samson did. The Spirit of God came upon Samson. He lost his power, but he got it back. The Spirit of God came upon the Apostle Peter. He lost that power. But brother, you talk about power. You go to Pentecost and hear him preaching to all those people. He got it back. The Spirit of the Lord God came upon David. He lost his power, but he got it back. And that power that you've lost is still available. And by the way, just as you don't get it for keeps, blessed be God, you don't lose it for keeps either. It's available. And if I could do one thing tonight to you, if I could do one thing to you tonight, if I could get one thing across, I'd like to separate this foolish teaching whereby we somehow think that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is only for preachers. All flesh. I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. That means thirsty laymen as well as thirsty preachers. That means thirsty women as well as thirsty men. That means thirsty young people as well as thirsty old people. That means thirsty old people as well as thirsty young people. That means thirsty poor people as well as thirsty rich people. That means thirsty untrained people as well as thirsty trained people. The power, you can have it back. The last thing, you must take it. You must take it. I preach a lot in North Carolina. Don't see him anymore much. But he used to have a real follower. Maybe he's going to heaven now, I don't know. He's an old man. There was a day when that man preached some of the greatest revivals this nation has ever known. But he lost his power. Got off into some foolish doctrine that was anti-soul winning and anti-evangelism. Lost his power. The old man heard me preach one time and he said to me, he said, son, and back, talking about 15, 20 years ago now, he said, son, you remind me of me when I was young. He said, I used to preach like that. After the service, he'd come up to me and said, I used to have the altar feel like that. That man would come to me anywhere I'd preach within 200 miles of where he lived. He lived in North Carolina. If I preached in Atlanta, Georgia, he'd be there. If I preached in South Carolina, he'd be there. Anywhere in the state of North Carolina, he'd be there. In the state down in Southern Virginia, he'd be there. And he wanted to drive me to the airport. He wanted to spend some time with me and drive me to the airport. He told me about when he lost his power. Up in years. I remember one time I was down preaching in Greensboro, North Carolina. He was out of the country. He was a businessman. Then, wasn't preaching anymore. He was out of the country. He left money with his wife to buy me a suit of clothes. She said, he loves you, Brother Hiles. He sees in you what he once had. And one day he drove me to the airport and I said, sir, I said, what you understand, you didn't lose that for good. You can have that power in your old age like you had in your youth. The Bible said, all flesh. The old men shall dream dreams as well as the young men seeing visions. God offers you the power back once again. There's nothing sadder. Nothing sadder. And to see a person who once did this. Of course, if you remember how we'd chop, we'd hold it up like this, we'd come down like that. Then we'd do like this and come down like that. This thing's getting a little loose, Elaine. And at least I've got a big target over there. But anyway, and you'd come down like that. And you'd do it like that, and you'd come down like that. And you'd do it like that, you'd come down like that. Then you'd come like that and chop it that. And you'd come like that and chop it that way. There's nothing in the world sadder. You feel for a person who's done that. Looks the same. But it's not the same. I thank God that after I'd begged God for His power and begged God for His power in the woods and finally, for the first time in my life, the power of God came on me, I thank God I didn't leave the woods. Because you retain His power just like you obtain His power. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?